Musician boy is here.
Shepard, what a surprise. Are you here to play for me?
I'm here to fight for you.
Forgive us. Lord King, my brother can be foolish and rash.
I will fight the giant!
Let him speak.
My king, I will fight the giant.
You are only a boy. You cannot fight him.
Your servant has kept his father's sheep for many years. In that time, I have killed both bear and lion.
That's enough.
When the lion attacked my flock and rose against me, I went after it, caught it by its beard, struck it, and killed it.
That's true, my king. He did.
Abinadab.
What? I always believed
you. You are not helping.
This giant blasphemes the Lord of Hosts. But the same Lord who rescued me from the lion and the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine.
What a powerful scene. It's great to see a cathedral. We are in a series called Cathedral at the Movies. Each August, we typically will look at some of the big films of the year, what are the themes of those films, and most importantly, what the Bible has to say about those themes. Now, the scene you just saw was actually from a streaming series on Amazon called The House of David. How things have changed. When I was a kid, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, when I was a kid, you actually had to go to the movie theater to see a movie. And if it was opening weekend, you had to stand in line for 2 hours to see that movie. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But today, though, there's so many options. You can see it at the theater. You can see it, well, and then you can stream it on your phone, on your computer, on your television. There are so many choices, so many streaming platforms, and yet still, I saw this one guy who said, let's relax tonight by spending 2 hours trying to find something to watch on Netflix. It can still be hard finding something worth watching, but I think it seems to me that the House of David is worth watching. In fact, there were so many eyeballs on season one that they're coming out with season two. Can someone say amen to that? Now, in the first episode, David is facing off against Goliath, and then it freezes. And in the last episode, you have David facing off against Goliath. And in between, you find out what was it that led to this epic moment. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about for the next few minutes. What do you do when you face Goliath? When you have your own giants? Maybe even now, there's a giant-sized difficulty, a giant-sized challenge. A giant is standing between you and your future. When you're facing a 9-foot monster, how do you still have courage? I heard about this one man who was at the gates of heaven, and St. Peter was there, and said, before I let you in, you've got to tell me about one courageous thing that you've done in your life. And he said, I've got one. He said, once there was this group of bikers that were picking on a young lady, and I walked right up to the leader, and this guy was big, muscles on his muscles, tattoos all over, a nose ring, and I walked up to him and pulled that nose ring right out of the nose. And I said, you better leave this lady alone. In fact, I looked at all those bikers and said, if you don't leave her alone, you're going to have to answer to me. And St. Peter was impressed. He said, wow, when did that happen? And the guy said, well, about 5 minutes ago. When you're facing Oops. When you're facing a 9-foot monster, how do you have courage? How do you find courage? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this moment in time. Thank you so much for all that you've done in our lives. And I pray even now for those who are facing giants, God, that you would speak to our hearts. A lot of things will be said. Help us to hear the one thing we need to hear so we can leave here transformed. And this week can be different because we've met you in this moment. Thank you, God. That's our heart. That's our desire. All God's people said, amen. Can we give God praise? Amen. For the giants that God knocks down. Spoil alert, Goliath, you're going down. Goliath, you're going down. Say that with me. Goliath, you're going down. Say that to your own giant. Everybody, Goliath, you're going down. Now, why does David have courage? David has courage in the present because he had demonstrated courage in the past. David says to Saul, you just saw it in the video, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Speaking of 9-foot giants, in football right now, they're in training camp. And they're getting ready for the regular season. They're running drills, practicing plays, they're working out, having preseason games, so that when it's opening day, the team will be ready. One of the reasons David was ready to face the giant was that he had been to training camp. When he was out in the fields watching those sheep, that was his training camp. When the lions attacked and he fought the lions, when the bears attacked and he fought the bears, that was his training camp. When he defeated the lions and he defeated the bears, when you think about it, he could have played in the NFL. He defeated the lions, he defeated the bears, and he defeated the giants. I think the Raiders should pick him up. Amen. All right. I'm sorry. All right. He was in training camp, and it was here in training camp that he was building his courage. Courage is not something you're born with. Being courageous is something you become. And every time out in those fields, when he exercises courage, he is becoming more courageous. Think about it. He could have run away when the bears showed up and the lions showed up. He could have run away. Who was going to tell? The sheep weren't going to say anything. But if he would have run away then, chances are he would have run away now. And that's why. I mean, his heart would have not been ready for this moment. And that's why the smaller battles, I'm speaking to somebody, the smaller battles that you have today, the smaller victories you have today, these are building courage into your life, and they are preparing you for the giants you will face tomorrow. One study done by the University of Minnesota found that in high stress situations, people with previous small wins were 3 times more likely to act courageously. And that's why when you and I are in training camp, and maybe we're there even now, well, training camp is so important. It's where we develop our skills and we develop our faith. David learned about the faithfulness of God firsthand. He had heard others speak about the faithfulness of God, but there are some things you can only learn by experience. And it was in training camp, he got to experience for himself the faithfulness of God, that God had been faithful and helped him to defeat the lion. God had been faithful and helped him to defeat the bear. And he knew that he knew that he knew that God would be faithful and help him to defeat the giant. He said, "The God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will in fact deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Can somebody say amen to that? See, training camp prepared him for that. Now, here's another reason he was courageous, or courage as you see in his story. He had the courage to face unfair and misguided criticism. Have you ever faced unfair and misguided criticism? Have you ever faced just brutal criticism? Anyone remember this right up here?
A very close call. Could have gone either way. It was right on the line.
Well, Ferguson's not too happy with it, I can tell you that much.
He's beating him like a rented mule.
And the ref's just tuning him out.
Boy, where do you train to take a beating like that?
He said, when's that porch gonna get painted? And that litter box! It's been 3 weeks! 3 weeks!
I'm in trouble when I get home. All right. Stacy Allison is the first female American ever to have climbed Mount Everest. Now, that's no easy feat because the mountain is 29,000 feet high. The oxygen level at that height is one-third of what it is at sea level. So it's not an easy thing to do. And in fact, in that day, there was doubt whether a woman could actually climb that mountain. And on her first try, she had to turn back because of the weather. But on her second try, she made it all the way to the top. It took a lot of courage to conquer that mountain. Now, looking back on her experience, she said something that caught my attention. She said, you've got to decide sometime in your life when it's okay not to listen to what other people are saying. If I listened to other people, I wouldn't have climbed Everest. And it seems to me she has a point, that sometimes the words of other people, that what they can do is they can take us on a detour. We know what happens when we run into a detour sign. We were going one way and now we're going a different way. And sometimes the words of other people and criticism, when we're on our way to the top of the mountain and then we run into their criticism, we end up going sideways. And it takes a lot of courage to face unfair criticism and to still stay on track. It really does. And that's what happens with David. We see this in the life of David. That David, when he shows up at camp, he starts asking around about the giant. He wants to know what's going on. And his little brother really lets him have it, or his older brother really lets him have it. He says to David, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Wow. Thanks, big brother. Now, why did his big brother take a cheap shot like that? Could it be that big brother was feeling some shame and shame was driving this kind of response? Could it be that he felt jealous and jealousy was driving his criticism? Could it be that he was just being a pain, like big brothers can be? Did my brother, my little brother, just say amen to that? Whatever the reason, he takes all these cheap shots, and yet David will not let those cheap shots, someone needs to hear this, David will not let those cheap shots take him on a detour. The Bible says that what David did then is he then turned away. Would you say that with me? He then turned away. Let's just say this last part. Turned away. I want that to get in your spirit. If you sometimes, that is what you have to do. If you spend all your energy trying to battle your critics or change your critics or conquer your critics, before you know, I mean, you get sidetracked. You were on your way to conquering the mountain. Now you're on the way to conquering your critics. Winston Churchill once said, "You will never reach your destination if you stop and throw stones at every dog that barks." There are times you just need to turn away. There is a giant you are on your way to take down, and no cheap shots are gonna get me sidetracked. I am just gonna turn away and keep going toward my mission and toward my destiny, amen. In fact, how about if you're comfortable doing this, how about if we get interactive? Would you stand with me, please, just for a moment? Because when I want you to practice this, that this gets in your spirit. When that unfair criticism shows up on social media, what do you do? Okay, so just turn away from me. Go ahead, turn the other way. Okay, now I'm feeling rejection. Everybody turn back this way. Yeah. Yeah, when unfair criticism shows up from your coworker, what do you just do? You
turn away.
Go ahead and turn away. Yeah, just let that get in your spirit. Come on, turn back around. Okay, when unfair criticism shows up from a church member, not at this church, but from those other churches, what do? You just turn away. There we go. All right, give somebody a high five. We got a strategy for dealing. You can be seated. Amen. We got a strategy to stay on course, not get sidetracked. Now, the third thing I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, I hope you are, the courage, that David had the courage to stay true to himself. To stay true to himself. Now, for this point, I need a volunteer from the audience, and I'm going to ask my grandson, Chase. Would you come up and help me volunteer? This is my grandson, Chase. There's my buddy. Mwah. So, Chase, I got this new pair of shoes for you. Our cameraman, Joseph Scott, picked these out. And so I want you to sit down in the chair, and if you'll take your shoes off, and I want you to try on these shoes. I really think you're gonna like these shoes. They're Air Jordan slippers. So here we go. Why don't you go ahead and try those on, and then can you try them on, and why don't you walk across to the front of the stage? Now tell me, what do you think about those shoes?
They're a little bit big.
They're a little bit big. It's like you got snow skis on your feet. They're not the right fit. Now, I want you to see this, because that's exactly what happens to David. When David shows up and says, "I'm gonna fight the giant," he's given armor that's not the right fit. See, there are really two giants in the story. There's Goliath, but King Saul is also a pretty big dude. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we read, from his shoulders and up, he was taller than all of his people. So you had two giants, in a sense, and now he says, "David, if you're gonna go face Goliath, wear my armor." And he puts on his helmet, and he puts on his takes up his shield, and he straps around his sword, and he looks like my grandson. It's not a right fit. And David has the courage to take off the armor and to go and with his staff in his hand, he goes and he chooses five smooth stones from the stream, and he is going to be true to himself and wear his own armor. Would you give my grandson Chase a great big hand? Thank you, buddy. And that's the next point, is that David had the courage to be true to himself. Here's the takeaway. If you're trying to live your life in another person's armor, if you're trying to be like them, or you're trying to live out their dream, or you're trying to use what has been put in their hands, if you're trying to live in another person's armor, it'll wear you out and wear you down. Believe me, I've tried it. One of the best things, one of the most courageous things you can choose today is to choose to be you and watch what God will do. Choose to be you and watch what God will do. In fact, that's got a little bit of rhyme in it. Choose to be you and watch what God will do. Oh boy, here we go. Pastor Ken, keep your day job. Here we go. The Bible says that we are God's masterpiece. And you need to own that. And I know how hard that can be, because this is what I had to learn to do. I come from a long line of pastors. My grandpa was a pastor, my dad was a pastor, and I have the same calling. I'm a pastor. And I've got a wonderful legacy. Now, my grandfather and my father had great armor. And there are times I wish I could wear their armor. There are times I've tried to wear their armor, and that didn't work out so well. And what I finally had to learn to do is to just wear my own armor and to take the personality I have and the gifts I have and the heart I have and the vision I have, and to courageously say, God, I want to be who you have made me to be. And instead of looking at what you don't have this morning, look at what you do have. Look at what you do have. Look at this. David did not have armor, but what did he have? He had speed. He was agile and quick. He didn't have a sword, but he had a sling, which back then was like a modern day handgun. A person who was good with a sling who could hit a tiny target over 200 yards away. One ballistic expert suggests that the stone coming out of the sling toward Goliath was traveling 80 miles an hour when it hit him. Can somebody say ouch? Don't worry about what you don't have. Give God what you do have. And when God takes what you have and blesses it, before you know it, you find yourself taking down giants for the glory of God. Goliath, you're going down. You're going down. Say that with me. You're going down. Speak to your giant. You're going down. Now, the last thing I want you to notice is this. Is that David has courage because he knows who is with him and who is for him. And that's really the source of his courage. I heard about an archaeologist who was digging in this valley where the battle took place, the Valley of Elah, and he discovered a mummy. And he took the mummy to the local museum, and he said, I think I found a mummy that's 3,000 years old and died of a heart attack. And so the head of the museum said, well, bring it in and we'll check it out. So they ran their tests, and he called up the archaeologist and he said, you were right. That is amazing. You were right about his age. You were right about the cause of his death. How in the world did you figure that out? And the archaeologist said, because I found a piece of paper in his hand that said 10,000 shekels on Goliath. He had placed a bet on Goliath. And when it didn't turn out, note to self, don't use that story next service. That's right. I wonder what the odds were. I mean, the odds of the San Francisco Giants winning the World Series right now is 35-1. The odds of the Sacramento A's, it's hard to say that, but the odds of the Sacramento A's winning the World Series is 50,000 to 1. So you're saying there's a chance, right? What do you think the odds were? When people looked at the two sides, here on the one side, you have a 9-foot giant, a skilled warrior, better weapons, lots of experience. He is a killing machine. On the other side, you have a teenage boy with a sling in one hand and some stones in the other hand. It doesn't seem like a fair fight. When they looked at that field, this is probably how it looked to them right up here. This is how it looked to them. And yet as David walks out on that battlefield, he knows. He knows he's not alone. And he says to Goliath, "You come at me with your sword and with your shield, but I come at you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Hallelujah. The Lord Almighty. And this is the main source of courage that he has. It really is. He knows who is with him and who is for him. And some of you even now are facing your own personal giants, a giant in your finances, or a giant in your marriage, or a giant in your career, or a giant in your ministry, or a giant in your health. There's a giant between you and your future. And if all you see is the giant, it's hard to stay courageous, but if you remember who is with you and who is for you, that you come in the name of the Lord God Almighty. You will not see a giant who's too big to hit. You'll see a giant who's too big to miss. See, there's a difference. And always remember this. Remember this. That every giant, even 9-foot monsters, they have an Achilles heel. They're not as big and as bad as they want you to think they are. In fact, Malcolm Gladwell, in his book on David and Goliath, he points out, well, he makes an interesting observation. He says Goliath likely suffered from a disorder that simultaneously accounted for his height, but also likely left him with poor eyesight. And this is why someone walks him out onto the battlefield. This is why he says, "Why do you come at me with sticks when David only has one?" This is why he says, "Come close to me." In other words, every giant, the giant you are facing, it still has a chink in its armor. So lean into the presence of God. Face off with the 9-foot monster. Not in your name, but you come at that giant in the name of the Lord. Because defeating the giant will benefit you, but it's not all about you. David said that because of the battle today, the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Here's how the story winds up.
Thank you.
Amen. You're going down. Say it with me. You're going down. Stand with me, please, everyone. Pastor Vaughn and the team are going to come and sing a declaration. And after that, I want to speak victory. Speak victory over the battlefield that you're facing. But I want you to own this song. Let courage build in your spirit. The Goliath, you're going down. Say it with me. You're going down. Say it again. You're going down. Say it one more time. You're going down. Pastor Vaughn, lead us.
Somebody say, no fear.
No fear.
One more time, no fear.
I got enemies on every side. It ain't looking good, I ain't gonna lie. Arrows flying, devils trying to make me think I'm going down this time. You might think that I'd be afraid, running scared without a shaking faith. But the God I know says it ain't over. The God I know is gonna make a way. Yeah, though I walk through the valley, I will have no fear. To no fear. The mighty power of Jesus is fighting for me here. No fear. To no fear. The light of the world makes the darkness disappear. So no cause I know who's walking me through. No fear when the floodwaters rise. If I got my eyes on you, no fear. Say no fear. The mighty power of Jesus is fighting for me. Yeah, say no fear. Say no fear. The light of the world makes the darkness disappear. Say no fear. Not over my life, God's over my life. Not over my battles, not over my struggles. Not over my life, God's over my life.
Let's sing it together.
Not over my family, not over my future.
Goliath, you're going down. You're going down. Say it with me. You're going down. Father, we thank you for today. I sense that courage is rising up in this place. And we come at our giants courageously. And we come in the name of the Lord, not in our own strength, but in the power of his might. And we declare in faith that giant we are facing, that it is going down. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, but we know how this story is gonna end up giant, you're going down. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory, all God's people said, amen. Can we give God praise? Amen. Hallelujah.